When Rob asked me to speak on AEIOU and the pastoral letters, I have to confess that I needed to ask him what AEIOU was all about. And he told me that it was a way of remembering the order of the five books which follow Paul's letters to the Corinthians by looking, he said, at the first vowel in each book. A, Galatians. E, Ephesians. I, Philippians. O, Colossians. It's working well, isn't it? And then we get to Thessalonians. And what happens? There's no you there at all. When I pointed this out to Rob, he just said, well, it probably wasn't a good mnemonic for pedants, which put me in my place. So I did think, well, hold on. Thessalonians, I think, has got every vowel in it except you. So it sort of works, doesn't it? So this morning, we're looking at these six books of the New Testament, along with the four that follow. So if you could turn to pages 198 to 233 in the Church Bibles, well, that probably won't work today, will it? I don't think we can really turn to all those pages, so you might as well put the Church Bibles back again. Now, the first six of these books are to various churches. The Thessalonians get two. There are, of course, common themes such as grace, perseverance, love, fellowship, the lordship of Christ, and many others. But Paul also highlights points which are particularly pertinent to the people that he's addressing. And I'm going to try to mention briefly the key distinctive in each one. So first up is Galatians, and we looked at that not long ago, didn't we? And as we saw then, when we studied this book, the Galatians were being led astray by false teachers, and they were trying to earn salvation through keeping religious rules. So Paul had to remind them about God's grace and about being saved through faith. Ephesians emphasizes that Christians, Jew and Gentile, are all members of the church, the body of Christ, and they're urged to put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Philippians is really a letter of love to the church in Philippi. And even though Paul is writing from a Roman prison, the letter is full of joy, and he urges them, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Now, the Colossians had also come under the influence of false teachers, and Paul has to warn them against these teachings. He says that they have an appearance of wisdom, but they have no value. He reminds them of the supremacy of Christ, saying he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Then we come to Paul's two letters to the Thessalonians. They both cover several topics, but they both teach about the second coming of Christ. In the first letter, Paul describes how Jesus will return, but not when. In fact, he says, the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Nevertheless, some of the Thessalonians became misled, again by false teaching. And they were misled into believing that the Lord had already returned, or his return was imminent. So therefore, there was no point in working. In his second letter, Paul explained why Jesus' second coming could not yet have happened, and he exhorted them to do their work quietly and earn their own living. Anyone unwilling to work should not eat. So that's a very brief summary of those six letters to the churches. There follows three pastoral letters. Two to Timothy, one to Titus. And these are written to counsel young church leaders in how to lead churches. And they detail the conduct and lifestyle required to qualify those for leadership positions within the church. And the second letter of Timothy also emphasizes the importance of Scripture. Paul writes, "All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work." Well, the last of the 10 letters is quite unusual because it's a personal letter that Paul wrote to his friend Philemon. And he asked him to forgive and welcome back a runaway slave, saying, "No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother." Now, if you're taking part in the Faith Comes by Hearing project, then listen out for how many warnings there are against false teachers of false doctrines, how many times they occur in these 10 books. You may have noticed from this morning's readings that both our readings this morning contain such warnings. And Paul warns in his second letter to Timothy, "For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires and will turn away from listening to the truth." So it's not just false teachers that Paul warns about. There's also a warning against those who eagerly receive and champion this false teaching. I think you may have noticed that there's plenty around today who claim to be Christian but express ideas which are not consistent with biblical Christian teaching. The itching ears of our media love to wheel them out as the Christian voice of our nation, so that sound Bible-based doctrine is marginalized and often dubbed by the media as fundamentalist. We need to watch out for that and not be beguiled by it. As it was in Paul's time, it is in our time as well. So that's the 10 letters written by Paul, inspired by God, and brought to us through the providence of God. Just to give you an example of that, this providence of God, I want you to think of this. In these days of phoning, texting, emailing, WhatsApps, tweets, even Skype and FaceTime, and I probably missed a few out as well. I think not many people fax these days, do they? But in these days, we have almost instant exchanges of information. But it was different, wasn't it, in Paul's time? Before he wrote to the Thessalonians, he'd sent Timothy out to find out how they were getting on. Now, it would probably have taken Timothy a couple of weeks to travel there, and then he'd spend some time, wouldn't he, in Thessalonica, and then a couple of weeks to return. What a long time for Paul to wait for news. What a difference for us who can just get on the phone and say, "How are you getting on?" We read in Acts chapter 17 that Paul had been with the Thessalonians, but he'd had to leave because of persecution against him. He really wanted to be with them, and in his first letter, he tells them, "I could bear it no longer. I sent to find out about your faith." It must have been agony for Paul to be separated from them. He wrote, "For we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, wanted to again and again, but Satan blocked our way." But just think about this. If Paul had been with them, there would have been no need to have written the letters to them. Scripture wouldn't be complete. Even though Paul was distressed, God used that situation so that we could receive the full complement of Scripture. So that's just a little example of how God's providence has brought Scripture to us. It's true in our lives as well. Things happen and we can't understand why and we wonder what's going on, but we don't see the big plan of God. I wonder, what do you think? Do you think Paul was aware that his letters would become Scripture? It's an interesting question, that, isn't it? I'm not so sure that he would have even been thinking about that. He was just writing letters to people. But you know, they soon became received as inspired Scripture. We can read in Peter's second letter that Peter writes about Paul's letters and other Scriptures. Paul's letters and other Scriptures. So even then, Peter was counting Paul's letter as Scripture. And saying, actually, and it's quite heartening this, that some of them are quite hard to understand. So I'm glad Peter struggled with some of them and not just me. In Acts, we read that Jesus declared Paul as his chosen instrument. Paul was certainly aware that he wrote with special, apostolic, God-given authority. We heard this morning that he writes in his introductions to the Galatians, Paul, an apostle, sent neither by human commission nor from human authorities, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. A few lines after our reading this morning, we can read, for I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel that was proclaimed by me is not of human origin, nor did I receive it from a human source. Nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. So as we read or listen to Paul's letters, it's important to remember that they are more than just letters, that we are receiving God's word. I say this because I've heard people who say, oh, that's just Paul. Jesus never said anything about that. These people don't understand that because of the special apostolic commission given to Paul and the special revelation given by the Holy Spirit, then if Paul teaches it, it is the teaching of Christ. So as we listen to or read Paul's letters, let's be mindful that if Paul has said it, then Jesus is saying it. And let us allow God's word and not false teaching be what our ears want to hear. Would you like to pray with me? Thank you, Lord, for the various ways in which you have revealed your word to us. Help us to live by it and to submit to it for teaching, reproof, and correction, so that we may be trained in righteousness, belonging to you, and proficient, equipped for every good work. Amen.